is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Wednesday. That means we're waiting for Mr. Newry to get to studio for our Wednesday mashup Man Down show, where we combine the two shows to talk about what's in the news. So I'm going to get started, and we're definitely in the newspapers this morning. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar team is in Long Island, November 14th through 17th. Today, Wednesday, November the 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can experience Sand Dollar when you attend the team's top-up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. Download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart and get $5 back on exit. Merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email at sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. Text, I'll get to that text a little later in the show. It's a very interesting proposition. All right, there's lots in the news this morning. I can tell you the stories that I want to touch on. In today's Guardian, American woman dead after Blue Lagoon boat sinks. Also in the Guardian, two-year-old found dead in bushes in Fox Hill. Another story on the front of the Guardian, three injured in shooting. I saw that in the news last night. Now, there's a big story on the top of the fold. PM has requested Petty's resignation. I am not interested, I could be honest with you, in the water and sewage case because I don't have the reading, right? I have not read as many articles surrounding it as I want to have a sound conversation about it. But we will just touch on it briefly. And then another story. Oh, Town Center Mall evacuated. That was an interesting story in the news last night. This is one of the stories I really want to talk about. BTC's towers sold to third party. That was in Monday's Guardian, Monday's Tribune, and some follow-up stories. So let's start with two-year-old found dead in bushes in Fox Hill. When I saw the story last night, it was a brief breaking news headline that said, a child has been found dead in Fox Hill. According to sources, residents in the area speculate that the child was either mauled by an animal or a victim of a hit-and-run accident. So we're going to follow that up. Today's Guardian. The body of a two-year-old boy was found in bushes on Bryce Lane off Fox Hill Road yesterday afternoon. Chief Superintendent Chrislyn Skipping said the toddler was found in an unresponsive state with injuries to the neck and head. He died at the scene. We say condolences. Such a young life lost. She said a concerned citizen called police around 5:30 p.m. and indicated that the boy's body was in bushes next to his home. Skippings told the Nassau Guardian last night that the child lived in the area and that police located his parents. She said His Majesty's coroner and a pathologist visited the scene. We are not certain as to how the child came about these injuries, she said. An autopsy will be done to find out the exact cause of death. She asked parents to look out for their children. And let's take a moment to remind ourselves of the duty of care involved or required for young children. This is what we mean when we talk about being our neighbor's keeper. A duty of care means that you have an obligation or a responsibility to. And in this instance, we're talking about our duty of care to children and minors, to children who cannot take care of themselves, children who cannot control their environment, children who may not even be able to speak clearly, articulately. There is no victimizing or criminalizing of children. We accept that their brains are not fully developed, and we do not expect them to make rational, sound, and sensible decisions all the time. But in the case of small children, 2-year-old, it requires us, all of us, to take on the role of being our neighbor's keeper. It means that if you know that you have neighbors who have children, that you must always keep your ears and eyes open. You are the backup. You are the second, what do you call it? Not even the second wall. You are the second team. We are. That's what our job is. You see a child moving about. We observe to make sure the child is safe. We take control if we feel that the child is not safe. And we attempt to identify the child's parents and guardians, or we take them to the police. We take them to a trusted community member who may be more likely to find the parents than you are. We have a duty of care to talk to young people in our daily life, those that we encounter. A word, good day. In fact, I remember less than a year ago, a neighbor who had just gone on a short errand pulled back up. I was very agitated and upset. He said, "Man, I just drove past an uncomfortable scene, and I think a young lady is in trouble." He had witnessed a group of students walking home from school. He said it was a large group of boys, and it was one young lady. And he was uncomfortable with the way that the young men were engaging the young lady, the way they were talking to her, the way that they were all moving about in this group, pushing her about a bit. And he said, "As an old man who used to be a young man, I know how easily a situation could develop into a problem." And so he said, "Let's go. Y'all get in the vehicle." We got in the vehicle. We got back on the road. And we drove around in the direction that they were walking. And he just drove slowly along with the group, making eye contact with the young men in the group. One or two of the young men, they took umbrage. They got upset. Why y'all watching us? I get it. I understand. A lot of these young people live in communities that are just saturated with violence and gang activity. Right? So we understand. But we just observed, locking eyes with members of the group. My guess, to see how they would respond, or maybe to let them know that people are watching, people are observing. when the young men engaged us, and my friend who was driving said, "We're just making sure the young lady okay." They got upset. She could be all right. She could be fine. She with a friend. She could be all right. We didn't have the time to explain to them that we all have grown up in circumstances. We've all grown up. And we've all had experiences that in one moment's notice, fun turned into a problem for one of the members of the group. The old man remembered when he was a young man and how easy it is for a young lady to become the object or the subject of young men's desire and exploration of their masculinity. I'm still not sure if those young men trusted that we were attempting to ensure that that young lady was safe, truly safe, on her way home. But it doesn't matter, because we as adults have a duty of care to young people. Young people who we don't expect to make the most reasonable or sensible decision in every situation. And as opposed to criminalizing them or victimizing them, we intervene. We disrupt. We attempt to shift the energy and shift the culture. It's a sad, sad day, and we await the coroner and the pathologist report so that we, the community, can ensure that this young 2-year-old boy receives justice. Sad, sad day. I get a text here. Parents today are negligent. The texter says, "I don't trust anyone around my kids in today's society." Well, see, we have to. That's the problem. As parents, you have to trust people to take care of your kids. And thus, we rely on the state to create an environment in which that's more likely to happen. And one of the ways the state can do that is to create vetting mechanisms for people and for members of agencies and organizations that work directly and indirectly with young people and vulnerable people generally, like the elderly, like the disabled. The state can assist by ensuring that there is access to programs that support people in figuring out how to do what they ought to do when they ought to do it. Let's move on to another sad story in yesterday's news. American woman dies after boating incident. An American woman died after a vessel carrying over 100 Bahamians and visitors began taking on water in waters off Paradise Island this morning, police said. However, the cause of her death is not yet known. Chief Superintendent Chrislyn Skipping said the double-deck pleasure craft was en route to Blue Lagoon Island when it began to sink. Quote, "It is reported that a half hour into the ride, the vessel experienced rough seas in the area, which resulted in the vessel taking on water and becoming submerged in water just outside Blue Lagoon," she said. "As a result of the incident, we have one casualty, an American from Bloomdale, Colorado." Skipping said the woman was on a 5-day family vacation. She confirmed that the vessel was equipped with life vests. In a statement, Blue Lagoon Island said two passengers who were aboard a vessel were taken to the hospital for additional care. All passengers are accounted for. Now, shortly following the incident, the minister responsible for tourism, Mr. Chester Cooper, was interviewed outside an event. I just want to pull this quote from what he said. It's not an indictment on the minister, but it is the sort of center of the conversation this morning. minister is quoted as saying, clearly accidents sometimes do happen. Now, the minister was speaking at an obviously off the cuff. He indicated at the beginning of his statement that he does not have enough information about the event to speak directly to it, but he did address it. But that statement right there, clearly accidents sometimes do happen. I think that is the center state. That's the thing that we must focus on in the assessment of this matter and in the process of creating policy to minimize the risk of these things happening. When I learned to drive, when I hit 16 going on 17, I learned to drive. My insurance agent told me accidents don't just happen. Accidents are the result of a multitude of missteps and lapses. Now, you may be a part of an accident and you didn't cause it. Right? Like, I'm not saying that everybody involved in an accident is responsible for the accident or is has equal or equitable fault when an accident occurs. But accidents don't just happen, man. And surely, if we set out with the premise that, man, sometimes accidents just happen, we're going to have far more accidents than needed, than warranted. It's an extremely, extremely important moment. I just want to say this. When I ended my show yesterday, I had no idea that this event was unfolding. I had no idea whatsoever. But we have to start by doing away with this thought that, you know, accidents just happen. Push that to the side and commit to the idea or commit to a strategy that requires us to focus on minimizing all risks by taking the steps necessary, even when we don't feel or think that that level of effort is required. Anyway, I want to go to today's Guardian. I want to invite you guys, the audience, to join the conversation as well. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. And I guess one of the questions I want to throw on the table is, do we understand or do we even care? Do we have any concern about what duty of care is and what our duty of care is to other people, whether they are in our immediate presence or not? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. For people in the Bahamas but not in New Providence, that's your number to call toll-free, 242-300-5720. Guardian Radio text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Joining me in studio, Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Thank you very much, Aaron Green. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been listening to what you've been saying, and it's one of those sobering type moments. Yeah. I heard you use the term accidents do happen, mm-hmm. right? Tragedy does happen. Mm-hmm. And when tragedy happens, you try to analyze what went wrong and then correct it. Yeah. Right. I wanted to extend condolences to the lady who transpired and transitioned.
From Colorado.
And sometimes we have to say their name, right? To say their name, to know that they matter. They matter to somebody, right? Usually when these things happen, the Ministry of Tourism tend to reach out to the surviving members, right? To let them know that we in the Bahamas do care. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that is being happening right now on behalf of the country. So on behalf of the country, I want to extend regards to those people, family. Yeah, when you come to paradise, tragedy is not supposed to happen in paradise.
No.
No, good things happen in paradise. Memories happen in paradise. So when something fails in paradise, the whole country feels it.
Yeah.
It impacts us.
Yeah.
So this has impacted me, and I'm still dealing with it.
Yeah, it's like a failure. You know, our job is to keep tourists safe. When they come here, we invite them to come here. You know, we say, come here. We could take all your money, but we could send you back home safely.
Yes.
Right? And when that does not happen, we all feel the weight of it, you know, individually. And we feel the weight of it economically and financially as well. Mm-hmm. But let's stick a pin. Let's go to a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I didn't blow down in the storm this morning.
You're coming in and out. I don't know what's happening there, but I just hearing you in bits and pieces. But I heard the remark you made, which was reported by the minister.
Yes.
It is rather unfortunate that that had to go like that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we have to exercise caution and restraint on things that we say, even though he may not be fully aware of all the details. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But just starting that remark like that is not in good taste. I'll just put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in the Bahamas today, Bahamians always like to deal with negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to all the talk shows. Instead of us concentrating on how we can deal with problems, we tend to always stress negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You ask callers today, what are your solutions to a particular issue? They'll go right back and start talking about the problem. And it's something we have to work on. I'm not blaming the minister for anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said, and that's what came to his mind. But I certainly hope that we can see more tighter control, because I understand it's a double-decker boat.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just hope and pray that, you know, we will take more seriously, because there's plenty of water around these islands.
Yeah.
And we have to be very, very careful in dealing with these crafts. Thank you very much, Ms. Green.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. And all your points are noted. And this point as well, that, you know, that we're an archipelago. Marine travel is a major part. Marine activity, recreational activity, transportation is a major part of our tourism product, and it's a major part of our lives as well because of the nature of the archipelago. But I want to extend this point. The same care, safety, and concern that is demanded of boat users, marine vessel users, is also demanded of us on the Bahamian roads. The reason I highlighted the statement is not to denigrate or chastise the minister. Put that there. Today he could be the deputy prime minister if he won't be the deputy prime minister. But what the caller said was that it's probably something that just came to mind. And that's the point, is that it probably came to mind because it is the prevailing culture. You say it slips out, not because you are attempting to shift blame, right? But because it's just the way things are. But that it would slip out in this context suggests that we're far more rooted in that culture than we should be. And then we have to question whether it is a culture that has been entrenched in the public service, in the business sector, in the private sector. I got a red light flashing. Let's go to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Well, I could hardly hear you just like...
How about this? Is this better now?
No, very, very, very... You sound very far away.
All right, producer...
But I can hear you when I come... If I take the phone away, I can hear you loud on the TV.
I got you.
But I can't hear you on the phone.
I got you.
So I don't know what's happening, but you know, it is sad what happened with our visiting guests.
Yes.
Like the professor said, sometimes when he talk about the negative things, but sometimes on every coin there's a negative side, or a battery there's a positive and a negative. It goes, but they work together to make things work. You can't get a battery two positive poles to get started in a car. You know, there's North Pole, South Pole, there's God, devil, everything is positive and negative. So our nature and our life. But I remember yesterday they had a weather warning.
Yes.
They issued that
on Monday.
Force coming down, bad weather coming, and I remember them advising boaters to stay in port. Now, I don't know what happened, but sad things happen, and they don't only happen in the Bahamas. And I know all the Bahamian people, our condolences goes out to the families and those that might have been injured, jumping overboard or whatever else have you. But when I look at the weather, what they were in those boats, and they were out to go snorkeling or whatever else, it didn't look like good weather to me, you know. Yeah. And then, like, again, there's a sad thing that happens with the minister, the deputy speaker, whatever happened, Mr. Petty, whatever happened, whether you're PLP and F&M. I think these decisions now should show our leaders that if there's any hanky-panky going on with social media now, but the way the country is becoming, the population is getting like you right next to your house, your doorstep. Ain't nothing going unseen, untouched, and everything. If you think you get go in there like the old days, you go in there, friends, family, and lovers, and you and your family get rich in 1 year and 2 years, and then you just leave up and go, and then you move out of Old Fort Bend. We don't see
Sparky. My apologies. Let's put it right there. Stop it right there, because we're not making any determination about what is happening, what has happened in that matter. You know, I'm going to reiterate what I said yesterday. The fundamental principle of the Westminster system is that if there is even a question of impropriety, you just resign. You just step down. That's all you do. It's not an indication of guilt. It's not you're not admitting that you're guilty. That's not what it is. It is the honorable thing to do to protect your party and to ensure that justice can prevail. That's all. Now, one of the positive things that can arise from this tragic situation is that we see an expansion of a proper regulatory system. Now, we've talked about, when we talked about tourism, we talked about the development of downtown in a couple of shows. I identified all of the agencies in the tourism space, particularly for small and medium-sized vendors who want to participate in the growing tourism product. Things like BASE, which is the Bahamas Onshore Excursion Association. And they encourage people who want to provide onshore excursion activities for guests to be a part of that agency. And they provide training, or they facilitate access to training and capacity building and technical support services, right? But regular training is needed. It's like, you know, that the regulations that we have in place for aviation, for air travel, the same level of rigorous quality control and regulation must be in place for marine travel. To broaden access to the tourism space and to the tourism dollar. We're going to need systems that smaller businesses and entrepreneurs can plug into to ensure that they have access to world-class standards, training, certification. But you have to make it easy for people to be able to do these things. You can't just say, well, if you don't want to quit your job and spend 3 months learning how to do this thing and eating Vienna sausage and tears, then you ain't serious about this life. Not only do you have to create the environment, you have to make it as easy as possible for people to access these systems, because you ultimately need the individual parts of your tourism product to be as strong as possible. There is positive that can come out of it. But, like I said, I wanted to center just on the statement because I think it's an indicator, or it manifests a culture that has sunk in into this place. We see the accidents has happened. Right? I talk about traffic all the time. Why? Because traffic, the roadways, the movement of people, goods, and services, right? That is a space that we can use to analyze our behavior. And you'll see that what we do on the road, we're prone to do in other spaces, in the workplace, community, in our homes. We have a disregard for traffic controls and stop signs. You know what else? We have a disregard for rules and laws around sex with minors. We have a problem with rules and laws around consent and bodily autonomy. Our rape stats are ridiculous. Our child rape, child molestation stats are ridiculous. And so is our behavior on the road, in the very same space. We refuse to stop at stop signs and red lights. We refuse to give way when our light is red at Shirley and Mackey Street. We just refuse. We force our way into other people's space. The bigger the vehicle, the more bullish we are. And there's a complete recklessness. I want to say this again. Has somebody authorized the drivers of corporate and commercial vehicles to break basic traffic controls? Because how could you be in your boss' good truck with the name of the company painted on the side of the truck and you running red lights every day? Is it the employers of people who making deliveries tell their drivers, listen, what's most important is this bottom line. Run a red light if you could get away with it. Cut people off if you have to. Is that what's happening? See, we rely on corporate and commercial drivers to set a standard. We also rely on corporate and commercial employers to set a standard for medium and small enterprises. We rely on you because we thought that your bottom line relies on your safe and efficient drivers. That's what I thought. But every day, more and more, it appears as if we're just not serious about running a country. We couldn't be serious. Yesterday, driving up Bay Street in the middle of town, driving behind this car that's doing 3 miles an hour, and you think, okay, it's town, it's tourists. Maybe they just being extra careful. And then I noticed the reason we were driving at 3 miles an hour is because they had their cell phone in their face, using it. And then I see three police officers on bicycles riding up the sidewalk in the wrong direction, straight past the car, and they don't see him at all. And I wonder, what are they watching? I could be honest with you, it was a white man in the car. I bet they wasn't watching him at all. He's cool. Do what you want to do, boss. We just can't seem to get serious in this place. But to be honest with you, the most vulnerable among us, their survival relies. I mean, it depends on us in positions that have duties of care attached to them to be serious about ourselves and our work. It's a sad, sad day. Producer, take us to a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to close out the show with this BTC story. BTC's towers sold to third party. Oh, boy. I don't even have a joke to crack about. It's a very interesting story. We're going to get to it on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned and give us a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. You'll be right back.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. Santa Claus is coming to town. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Good morning and welcome back to the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM mashup session. It's not much of a mashup this morning, is it, Mr. Newry? Good morning.
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
No, I see you reading the headlines.
I'm listening to you vent, and I understand that just yesterday you were talking about the seriousness or lack of seriousness in terms of how we deal with the management of our country. And then to see today that these mismanagement continues and that it just seems as if we don't taking things seriously. I understand your angst early this morning. I understand. So I let you go ahead. You vent.
Yeah, man. Well, I want to talk about this BTC story, but I do have a text here. It says, I keep telling our children, do not let your convenience be someone else's inconvenience. convenience, right? And I think that's a part of what it is. It's a soft skill thing, Nuri. It's about a lack of spatial awareness, a lack of empathy, and a lack of critical thinking, right? And here's what I realize. A lot of the bully behavior, a lot of the bullishness we see with people, that's a symptom of a deeper problem, right? And say every day you have to get up and navigate the world. No matter how many resources you have available to you, no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how ignorant you are about what it is you're about to face, you as a human, child straight up to geriatric, you expected to be able to navigate the world and to keep going and to produce, right? What you're required to produce. Producer, we could line the call up. Call up coming to you in a second. You expected to produce, right? To pay the bills, to take care of the children, to feed them, to house them, to clothe them, to take care of yourself. Regardless of your capacity to handle the situation in front of you, right? And so most people end up just pushing through the space, uncertain what the right thing to do is, the appropriate thing to do is. They just know that they got to keep moving. And that's why we see a lot of this bullish behavior. I stick a pin and go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Hey, good morning, caller. Oh, I had you for a second, but you disappeared. Okay, so go back to that, right? So I realized that a lot of the bullishness that we see are people who know that they have to produce. They don't know how. They don't understand the space they're in. They just know they need to keep going, right? That's at the root of a lot of the behavior that we see from people. And I can understand it, and I have a degree of, I have empathy for and degree of sympathy for those people when I could see them, because I attempt to practice spatial awareness all the time, right? So they don't have spatial awareness. They don't have empathy for a whole lot of reasons. And in many instances, it's because their personal circumstances do not allow them to consider other people. Mm. It's one slice of bread. In fact, I buy a whole loaf and I come home and it's one slice of bread left and you looking at me like we must share the slice of bread. And I bought the whole loaf and I ain't had none yet. No, I have to eat the slice. People have been reduced to a state where they are unable to continue to practice empathy because they continue to be taken advantage of by people who also in the same circumstances as them. So we understand why people are sort of rooted in bullish attitudes. But to be honest with you, a lot of y'all, you don't warrant that. You have far too many resources available to you to be pushing through the world like that. For a lot of us, we don't want to acknowledge that we need help. See, some of us can't. We don't even have the language. Some of us can't stop. But there are many of us who are being bullish that don't have to be. It's not required. So you need to practice more spatial awareness and realize that you have far more resources available to you than you're willing to acknowledge. But that's a part of the reason for the bullish behavior. But see, that's why the state has an obligation to create an environment where people can make healthier, sounder, more sensible, more reasonable decisions for themselves and those people who they are in charge of. That's why we need systems. That's why we need constant, repetitive opportunities for re-education and certification and training. There should be systems available for people to plug into to improve their lives, to build their capacity, to grow. From the parents to the boat captain. We also fall down when we refuse to acknowledge our duty of care to one another. When we see someone lacking, support them, help them, give them the thing you know that they need. If they reject it, at least you tried. But this culture that we've developed, that you could only have this thing if you're willing to pay for it. It's not working. We have a duty of care to each other. And if you think it's just a duty of care to other people, understand that by fulfilling your duty of care to others, you create a safer environment for you. Anyway, maybe Mr. Nuria led me talk about BTC on the other side of this hour.
No.
If I knew that BTC was selling towers, I would make a tower, Mr. Nuri.
That's how interesting. You might, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that, how I could get in. Not you. I don't want you to be involved in anything that could be illegal. But how I gonna be a part of this tower sale. I want to sell some towers. I want to thank you guys for sitting in. It's been a somber morning. Not just a somber morning, but a somber morning as well. And all we could do is say, we as a collective and as individuals will attempt to do our part to be better, to do better, to acknowledge more our duty of care, to give more, if only 1% more, to be more for our children, to model more positive behavior. Because that's what the social contract requires of us. Producer, start playing the music. We're going to go to a break, and on the other side of the break, hopefully we can pick up the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM Man Down Mashup Wednesday session when we talk what's in the news. Again, before we go, Sparky, I just want to say thank you. As always, you spark thought and you raise a number of important issues in your contribution to the show this morning. I just didn't want to go too deep into that other matter. It's still a very careful conversation that we have to have about that case. So again, thank you, Sparky. Thank you to the listening audience. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day.